Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. It is Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, there is a bit of a weakness to the voice since the Chinese virus. I think it should be temporary. It's an inflammation of the nerve that powers the larynx. So, you know, like anything else, it just takes a while. And it comes and it goes. It's kind of weird. That's the, you know, the thing about COVID that most amazes me is it affects everybody in a different way. And don't turn the radio off. I'm not doing a COVID show. Okay. I'm not doing a COVID show. But different people just have different side effects from it. And the weird thing I've mentioned is my bout with COVID was no big deal. It really was like nothing. It was a mild to moderate cold for 2, maybe 3 days. That's it. And then, you know, fever at night for maybe a week after that. But the thing that most surprises me about it is the longer term effects. And I think you can relate to this. Brain fog, although that seems to be dissipating somewhat, as predicted. And the inflammation in the joints is a little bit weird, and the fatigue is a little bit weird because, you know, you can be humming right along. I don't know if this has happened to you, but, you know, you're going along at work, things are going great. 11 o'clock in the morning, down you go. You know, you just want to take a nap, and you know, that's what it's like. But frankly, considering some of the other side effects other people have, like blood clots in their lungs, I think I'll take what I've got. Thank you. And again, I've said this before, but I'm very happy that I got the Moderna jab. Never know if that's why it was a mild case or not, but I would never presume with something as new as this to say, you need to have it. I firmly believe in your personal choice in this, especially given the novelty of the vaccine. I got the jab because there are underlying conditions, which everybody knows about, which put me at very high risk. But I certainly support you if you do not wish to be jabbed with one of the COVID medications. And my argument, this is not the measles vaccine, it's not the polio vaccine, because it hasn't been around long enough. I took the chance. I did a risk-benefit analysis, and it was the right decision for me. But the right decision for me isn't the right decision for you necessarily. If you're 27 years old, in good shape, and you've got no underlying conditions, or 35 years old, I might not have gotten the shot if I'd been younger and without the issues that I have. So, you know, it's... Although I'm a COVID survivor and also got the shot, I definitely don't support any mandates so you can keep your job. I think there's fundamentally something really messed up about that and downright evil about that. And I hear about, we might be able to get 5-year-olds vaccinated. Why? COVID is not a problem for that age cohort. COVID becomes more of a problem the older you get, and the more comorbidities you have. And there is, why would you, from a risk-benefit perspective, why would you want something so new to be put into something, to be put into people who are so young and at so little risk when you have so little information about the long term? I don't understand it. If I had a kid who was of that age, I would not have that kid vaccinated. Again, risk benefit. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a COVID tangent. By the way, talking about Buffalo really quickly, I just want to make mention of a book that I stole from the newsroom because it had been sitting there for a long time, Secret Buffalo, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure by Elizabeth Licata, L-I-C-A-T-A. Elizabeth Licata. This is such a great little book. It is there. Even if you think you know everything there is to know about Buffalo, this book will, well, this book will show you how wrong you are. Secret Buffalo, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And any book with a picture of Shark Girl on it is going to get my attention. All right, so welcome to the program, friends. Hope you had a good day at work. I'm certainly having a good day at work because of you, frankly. And what we're doing today is something that we haven't done, really, that much of, and that is the stadium. And excuse me, pardon me. Yes, I'm fine. I'm doing well. Thank you. So anyway, Look, let me just reset things up really, really quickly. The Buffalo Bills are going to get a new stadium. They want it. The politicians are convinced they need it. I'm convinced they need it. If we're going to have a football team known as the Buffalo Bills, they need a new stadium, okay? I think they've established the need, right? The old one is old now. So it's going to happen. So that being said, where should it happen? Should it happen in Orchard Park? Should it happen in downtown Buffalo? Those are the only two alternatives. Now, somebody's emailed me saying, oh, Niagara Falls. And somebody called in and said, oh, where the old steel plant used to be. I don't think these are practical ideas for the reasons we've outlined previously. So basically, keeping within the realm of reality, we got to say, all right, somewhere in downtown Buffalo or where it is now, but across the street in Orchard Park. So where should it be and why should it be there? And how do you feel about a roof? It's going to add to the cost, but would a roof, just out of curiosity, would a stadium with a roof take away from the Western New York football experience or add to the Buffalo football experience? You know, one of the playoff games during the 1990s glory years, you might remember going to the stadium and the temperature was in the single digits with wind chills below single digits, like below zero. And as a young man, that actually augmented the experience. I'm a manly man. I'm sitting here watching a game. I might look like the Michelin man with the clothes I've got on, but this is football. On the other hand, some people, you know, prefer a covered stadium. You know, they just think it's more comfortable. It better quarterback. I don't know if this is actually proven. Better quarterback stats, better field goal stats in a covered stadium. I'd like to see the math on that. All right, where should it go? The new stadium. Because it's either going to be Buffalo or it's going to be Orchard Park. I think Orchard Park is the heavy favorite, but Buffalo might sneak in at the last minute. You never know. All right, let's get back to the calls. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's find out where your head is on this. Here is Sam in Williamsville. Sam, thanks for holding. You're on. Go ahead.
A few comments. Why don't we go way outside the box and design a stadium with multiple revenue-generating possibilities? Something totally world-class. Perhaps, Tom, even in Buffalo, the best of the best in the world. Dome it in order to have infrastructure built around it throughout the off season and actually during the season if they're not having a game.
All right, Mr. Financial King, and I say that with all reverence and respect, you mentioned other revenue sources. Can you give us some examples of what might work?
Yeah, what about a couple world-class restaurants that almost are tourist attraction type of places where you actually go in off-season and you they cut the lights on and you're overlooking the stadium? What about a world-class indoor bocce infrastructure attached to the stadium? What about a Bills Hall of Fame that's a tourist attraction built within the stadium that people can go enter year-round? Keep it in Orchard Park. It's about a 20-minute drive from downtown. That's more than convenient. A safe area. The infrastructure from a cost standpoint is already there. Plenty of land. and make it a destination type of place where people actually are attracted to, not only are they attracted to, they gravitate to it like a magnet. And make it be something when they show it on TV, people go, wow, look at that place. And what an innovative structure, what an innovative idea, you know. And then, you know, it is Pagula Sports and Entertainment, all right? So get your business plan going on the entertainment side, you know, outside of the 7-8 home games, couple preseason games, and really go with, you know, more of a, what do they call it, not a holistic approach, but a ecosystem type of design and approach to the business model.
Very, very interesting. You mentioned world-class year-round bocce courts, and there's something else that has gained in popularity, although I've known about it since I was a young man, cornholing. The sport of cornhole has grown exponentially, even in the last 5 years. Everywhere you go now, you see people cornholing in public at bars like the Dome in Tonawanda. They've got a cornhole area. People throw house parties, and there's cornhole everywhere.
Yeah, they could do something, you know, built it around it as part of their, you know, their business model.
In fact, you know, you mentioned the Bills Hall of Fame. If you really want to think outside the box, like the National Bocce Hall of Fame, the National Cornhole Hall of Fame. I mean, they're you know, you could be kind of silly, but you could also have some fun with it. I mean, the idea being to bring bodies into that area and provide entertainment for them. I really like the way you think. Hold on. You were certainly on hold long enough to give yourself some more time. So don't go anywhere. All right. I got to tell you, I don't hate this guy's idea at all. I mean, think about hatchet throwing, axe throwing. That's gotten huge, too. I mean, you go down into the Riverworks area, and you can actually throw an axe. I'm no good at it, but you can still throw an axe. Feel like Mel Gibson in The Patriot. Of course, Sunday Halloween. Look, it's always a full-size candy bar night at the Bowerly House for Halloween, and it's fascinating seeing the difference year to year what the kids choose, because I let them choose the candy bar they want. Sometimes it's Hershey's chocolate, sometimes it's Kit Kat, sometimes it's Reese's peanut butter cups. It varies from year to year. It's weird. All right, let's get back to Sam in Williamsville, the king of revenue. Sam, I was thinking also, how about year-round miniature golf? Your idea is an entertainment complex, and there are so many things we like doing in the summer that don't require a lot of space that really could be year-round things. And mark my words, I mean, when you saw ESPN covering cornhole during the pandemic, you know that it's a growing sport.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't attract my attention, but I'm fascinated by its growth pattern. But the list of added value business revenue generating opportunities is, as you mentioned, you know, it's simply off the charts. You know, if you just do a brainstorm, and then you can force rank them as to what might make the most sense, you know.
Well, the Bills Hall of Fame, that's a no-brainer.
Jerry Jones did that, and, you know, with the it used to be the Jerry Dome, and now I think it's AT&T Dome. By the way, he built that in Arlington, Texas, because not in Dallas, you know. 30 minutes away, Interstate 30, you know, world-class facility, way ahead of his times. You know, he's had the Super Bowl there, the Final Four, little rodeos. I mean, a little bit of everything he's had there. And he just, you know, sort of an entrepreneurial genius when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, he's kind of like the Ron Popeil of revenue streams.
Not doming the stadium is a no-brainer, in my opinion.
Wait, not doming it or doming it?
Doming it is, you should dome it, okay? There's different cost to different domes. I mean, the way you do it, but you know, you can do whatever you want. You know, you can take it to the roof off. You can put it back on. You know, I think the preliminary design had one of the designs had it open, but the people were covered, you know, from the elements. But the, you know, and again, I think they're going to do it right. You know, I really do when it all comes to this. But really go way outside the box.
All right, Sam, thank you. I appreciate the call. Interesting stuff. Here is Chuck in Dorchester.
What's that? Portchester.
Oh, Portchester. Okay, Portchester. Okay, thank you. You're on WBEN. I mean, I we get calls now from all over the world, but you threw me there. Okay, Portchester, otherwise known as Portchester. You're on WBEN. Go ahead.
Last week, and I did see Elvis Costello with a cap two nights ago. He was great.
Oh, nice.
I've been listening with interest, Tom, after school today. And I lived in Buffalo when I went to UB. Now, I got to ask you, what year did you go to UB? Because I was there from 79 to 83.
I was on the six-year plan. I graduated in 1987.
Okay, gotcha. So when I was there, they were blasting that Line to Nowhere, as we jokingly called it, from, you know, the Odd up to South Main Street campus, as we called it at the time. And I thought for sure that line was going to go into Amherst, but that's another story. I'm thinking when I take the train from Westchester to Buffalo to come up, I go past the central terminal all the time, and there's a lot of space there. And I'm thinking what the Yankees did. They added a line on Metro North to 153rd Street, and it wasn't there. It didn't exist. And now people use Metro North all the time instead of driving into the Bronx. So why can't we add a train stop to Central Terminal? You got your then you could have your tailgating, plus your public train taking people. Then you got the Central Terminal, which when I was up there, we had this organization called Up Downtown, which tried to keep people in Buffalo after 5 p.m. And sometimes we'd have our gatherings at the Central Terminal before I guess it went decrepit. It was wonderful. So I'm thinking. Somebody mentioned the Central Terminal. I think that's a great location.
Yeah, that's planned by Mr. Termini. I put the piece up from Buffalo Rising on my Facebook page.
Yeah, interesting. So what do you think about the fact you could have tailgating plus a train station stop, you know, on the Amtrak line, and then you have the Central Terminal could be put into use as a venue? I mean, it sounds like it could be a wonderful place with the stadium there.
I would need to see the data. I'd need to see the zip codes and the clusters of people where they live who are season ticket holders or people who go to four, maybe up to four or five games a year and figure it out based on that. I mean, New York was built for subways. Chicago was built for surface rail transport. Buffalo, you know, look, as far as a long distance way to go, I think that's 19th century thinking, because we're in the jet age, although in Italy with the high-speed rail, it put Alitalia out of business. But,
you're right.
I mean, you know, again, I mean, anytime you start talking about using rail and getting people out of their private vehicles, my concern, and more importantly, the concern of callers, is you might defeat the tailgating experience, which is a huge part of Bill's stuff. Hold on, if you'd like, because I have a hard break, which I can't do anything about, so don't go anywhere. We'll have a special guest, by the way, coming up in the next half hour of the show to pick up on something we brought up yesterday on Facebook.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, Pasquale. Dude, I think we share a brain sometimes. I really do. I was just thinking about this song. I had no idea you were going to play it. I was thinking about the cool drum part in this. And if you're wearing headphones, it's really extra cool. All right, who's got a fatty? Quick. All right, it is, no, thank you. 538 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly. Welcome to the program. Let's wrap things up here with Chuck in Portchester, New York, outside of New York City. So, as far as the rail lines are concerned, and the central terminal is coming up as an idea from Mr. Termini in an article I've posted from Buffalo Rising on the Bowerly and WBEN Facebook page. But, you know, the question is, how do you get the most bang for your buck as far as infrastructure for getting people in and out of a stadium, no matter where you put it, downtown?
Right. Now, Tom, the other thing I just think it is, you trade off a little bit of tailgating for giving merchants, you know, restaurants and other things, hotels in the area, a little economic kick. So maybe you lessen the tailgating by having it in the city. Let's say you want to have it maybe in the city by Central Terminal. Maybe the you know, that local economy downtown gets a boost in exchange for people not maybe being able to tailgate as much.
Telling Bills fans that you're going to limit tailgating is like telling a hunter you're going to limit deer season. It's going to go over not well, because tailgating is an essential part of the Bills experience.
Yeah, I've done it up there. You're right. You're right. Okay.
I mean, that's my personal opinion. I'm grateful for your call, Chuck. Thank you.
Take care, man. Thanks.
Indeed.
Bye-bye.
Hey, before we go any further here, the stadium issue did come up on today's mayoral debate you heard live on WBEN during David Bellavia's show. And let's let it rip, about 3 minutes long. Here's what the candidates had to say about a stadium downtown.
I would love to see a new stadium in the city of Buffalo. I think, though, we have to look at return on investment and what it would produce to the residents of the city and the region. I believe a new stadium should be built with a community benefits agreement to benefit the residents of the community. Many stadiums across the country, new stadiums, have been built with community benefits agreements. Money is critically important. It would be easy for me to say what I want when the city is not a party to the stadium agreement. The stadium agreement is between the state of New York, the county of Erie, and the ownership of the Buffalo Bills, the Pegulas. The city does not have any financial skin in the game, so it is difficult for me to say what should happen when I am not at the negotiating table as mayor. It's almost unfair. Obviously, would love to see a downtown stadium. I think the stadium originally being put in Orchard Park was one of the great planning mistakes of the city and region. Other parts of the country that have stadiums in their downtown are much more vibrant, have produced many more jobs, and it has been a benefit not only to those cities but the entire region.
Thank you. Ms. Walton?
Our alignment on this issue gives me hope for the future. I also believe that it would be great to have a downtown stadium. I don't want to see people displaced. I don't want taxpayer dollars to go to line the pockets of someone who's already super wealthy. But I think, you know, as a lifelong Buffalonian and as a Bills fan, I would love nothing better than to see a downtown stadium that is built with a community benefits agreement that has long-standing benefits to the surrounding community, but that is also developed in a transit-oriented way so that we're not building something that's contingent upon 800 parking spots, but that folks can use public transit to get there. I think it would be great. But again, because the city is not at the negotiating table, we can talk all day about what our aspirations are for a new stadium, but realistically, without the cooperation of the folks who are currently negotiating, our opinions at this point don't matter a whole bunch.
Thank you. Mr. Carlisle.
We had the same question at the last debate, and we heard the same answers, and I'm going to give the same answer I gave it the last time. I wouldn't just love to see a stadium in downtown Buffalo. I'm going to fight to get a stadium in downtown Buffalo. That's the difference. Ms. Walton, Mayor Brown said, yeah, geez, it would be great. I'm going to fight to make sure that it happens. Right now, the mayor's not at the negotiating table. The mayor needs to get at the negotiating table. The mayor needs to pick up the phone and say, what's it gonna take to make this happen? What can the city of Buffalo do to contribute to make this a reality? Not just hold a press conference and say that it would be great, but to be an advocate for the city to make sure that it happens. I will fight tooth and nail. I won't just wish it to happen. I'll fight for it to happen.
And those were the mayoral candidates when the idea of a stadium for downtown Buffalo came up during today's mayoral debate. You heard it during David Bellavia's show with immediate analysis thereafter with our experts. David Bellavia, 10 to 2 every day on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, it's Bowerly, and I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball here on WBEN because you guys threw me a curveball, which is one of the reasons I love you, because for as much as I think I know you and we know each other, you shock the hell out of me sometimes. Yesterday, I put up a post on Bowerly on WBEN Facebook, cremation or traditional burial. It got almost 500 comments. 500 comments. Now, I can think of nobody I'd rather speak to about this very subject than from Forest Lawn Cemetery, our dear friend, Joe Dispenza. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Great show today. Great show. Thanks for calling me.
Well, thanks for making it even better. Just so we can get this out of the way early, a lot of people who responded on Facebook wanted Viking funerals. At this point, that is not something Forest Lawn does.
No, presently it isn't. Ships are awful big.
You might consider it.
Somebody with that good of, shooting flaming arrows is tough.
I was going to say, with all the requests for Viking funerals, I hope Forest Lawn wouldn't think this disrespectful, but there might be an area where you could actually pull that off. I cannot believe Viking funerals came in so big. So let's just talk about the cremation versus burial thing on WBEN. Clearly, there's an interest in it among my very sick audience. But over your years as the man who is the voice and face and person behind Forest Lawn Cemetery, can you tell us about how cremation has grown in popularity and why that is?
Tom, absolutely. And quite frankly, it's a very important topic, and I'm going to share some facts. I've been at the cemetery 31 years. 31 years ago in Erie County, cremation represented less than 5% of all the deaths. If we take out last year because of COVID, as you know, that was a scourge, a terrible thing, and the death rate went up significantly. So let's take that year out. Let's look at the prior year, 2019. Cremation as the choice of disposition following death in Erie County is approaching, if not exceeding, this year after COVID, 70%. It is on a nationwide basis. 2 years ago, cremation versus casketed burial became the norm. 53% of all the deaths in the United States, the decedent or their next of kin had either prearranged or the family at the time of death chose cremation. That doesn't mean that many people who cremate don't also end up in a cemetery, either buried above ground, in ground, scattering in some beautiful space, or they go home, or they're scattered other places. But cremation, one has to say, is now the normal choice for most people. Personally, that's not my choice or the choice of my wife, but most people are choosing cremation and then some form of religious or more and more secular tradition for ritual and tribute surrounding the death.
Joe, can you think of, or is there any evidence to support knowing why cremation has become the number one disposition of remains?
I think so, and I think there's a lot of studies all the time. I belong to the Cremation Association of North America. I'm on the Cremation Committee for the New York State Association of Cemeteries. In Forest Lawn, we own and operate the highest volume crematory in the state of New York. Even from my colleagues in Greater New York, whose crematories typically perform 2,500 cremations a year, last year in COVID, Forest Lawn performed 5,400 cremations. The year before, prior to COVID, we performed 4,500 cremations. People used to say, well, it's cheaper, it's cheaper, it's cheaper. And I guess you have to look at that from the perspective. If you're going to compare the act of cremating, which at my crematory, and I can't speak for others, but we're all relatively close, the actual act of cremating the body is roughly $300. The actual act of embalming a body is typically between $300 and $400. So the notion that it's cheaper really is a misnomer. The concept is that for many people, and you know, I don't want to plug myself, but there is a video out there, and I can tell you about it offline, Tom, I guess. But today we live in a society where people crave and desire and demand and expect convenience. Death is not convenient. Death typically stops you in your tracks and asks you to realign yourself and ask yourself those big life questions. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? Cremation provides a convenience towards the necessary things that have to be done when a death occurs, because it takes the urgency away. And that's why I believe millennials, my generation, I'm the last of the baby boomers, born in 61, where we're looking at many people have multiple marriages, children and stepchildren, they're in a transient society, things are very busy. It's not as easy to, oh, did you hear Uncle Fred passed away yesterday? Okay, call work. I'm off for at least 5 days. Let's go to my mother's house, the sister's house. Let's gather. Let's go to the funeral home. Let's go to the church. Let's go to the cemetery. People are, their time and demands are time are so extreme today. It's not that the love is any different. It's that cremation gives a sense of convenience. We can cremate and then take care of that other stuff later when we get around to it.
Well, this is fascinating. Joe Dispenza with Forest Lawn is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Why? Because yesterday on Facebook, I posted cremation or traditional burial, almost 500 responses on Facebook. Bowerly on WBEN Facebook.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Page. So yeah, yesterday on Facebook, I posted cremation or traditional burial, almost 500 comments. A surprising number of people want a Viking funeral. Joe Dispenza is with us from Forest Lawn, where they do not currently offer Viking funerals. But we're talking about, you know, why cremation is now the basically the means of disposition of choice in our area and in the country in general. Is there a personality type which prefers traditional burial to the notion of cremation, a personality type or a religious tradition?
There is, Tom, but in Buffalo, unlike Toronto, New York City, I was just at Swan Point Cemetery in Providence, Rhode Island. You know, the Western Europeans, but typically newly immigrated Western Europeans, will prefer traditional above ground and in ground. A variety of faiths based in some type of Asian nationality will prefer cremation versus traditional burial, but not all. There are some of our Muslims and religious friends and colleagues, they don't cremate, but you're beginning to see cremation enter into some of the more loose affiliations, like more in the Reform Judaism movement, though it's not common yet, of course, versus conservative or orthodoxy. So that does take place in highly populated areas with newer immigrant communities. But what we're finding in Buffalo is people do what people see. And I often in our Zoom meetings, I ask people when we have our public Zoom meetings, when was the last time you went to a funeral, you went to the funeral parlor for 3 days, you saw the decedent from their head to their feet, the casket was a full casket, and the fourth day you gathered at the funeral home and then said your goodbyes, closed the casket, went to the church. After church, you went to the cemetery. After the cemetery, you went to, you know, the oldest child's house or the spouse's home. Though that still happens, it's certainly now a one-day wake, a half-a-day wake. And most importantly, if I could share anything, Tom, fortunately, and we get this question all the time, with cremation, it's the law in New York State. You must hire a funeral director to make the arrangements, secure the permits, get a death certificate, get a cremation authorization form, and move the body. And you know what, Tom? I don't own a funeral home. I'm not a funeral director, but that's a very good law. Because some states, it can be a guy with a van. You know, bring out your dead. And it's not what anybody wants or needs. You need to have the solemnity, the dignity, and the care of your loved one. And funeral directors are specifically trained to do that. And then the body's brought to my crematory or other crematories, and the cremation process takes place. The cremated body is then returned to the funeral director or the family, and then they just decide what to do with, as many people say, the ashes.
Very, or the cremains, I suppose.
Or the cremains, or...
You know, I've got a lot of other questions. Unfortunately, we're out of time because I've heard a lot about green burial or green cremation or chemical cremation, but we're going to have to get you on the show again, Joe. I always love talking with you, and you always have some fascinating insights into something that all of us have to face at one time or another.
Thank you, Tom, and ask your listeners... Go to the internet and look up what's new, might be passed in New York State this year, if not next year, called body composting. It's a form of cremation where the body is reduced to its natural elements, and then you're given back to the family 50 yards of compost.
We definitely need to talk again, Joe.
Okay.
Joe, thank you very much. Joe Dispenza from Forest Lawn Cemetery. He, I tell you, Joe is such an asset to the community, as is Forest Lawn. And when you go to Forest Lawn, you see so many people enjoying life at Forest Lawn, walking, running, and tremendous wildlife as well. It's really a treasure in the city of Buffalo. Beautiful monuments, very historic cemetery. Thanks again to Joe Dispenza from Forest Lawn. Thank you to Pasquale Maggiore for another job. Very, very well done. And Pasquale, the other gentleman whose name I've forgotten because of COVID brain.
Josh Schmidt.
Josh Schmidt. Well done, Josh Schmidt, who drives all the way from North Collins to take part in this program. So you guys have a great evening. Stand by. Tom Puckett is coming up next with the WBEN Evening News. Thanks for listening. I always appreciate it.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.